Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Maryland Risk Management Education Podcast. My name is Paul Geringer. I'm the Extension Legal Specialist here in the Department of Ag and Resource Economics at the University of Maryland. And today I want to kind of go back and look at some right-to-farm issues that we may have not covered on this podcast as I look back at some of the episode titles that we've had. And looking back, we haven't really talked about scare guns, which is a common practice used by many people across the country to keep birds, other animals from eating corn, soybeans, wheat, you know, whatever the agricultural commodity may be, to keep animals out of it and scare them away. So where do I want to turn in this? Well, a while back, the Wisconsin Court of Appeals had a decision that highlights what issues can happen with these guns when cities try to regulate them, because they are agricultural practices. So looking at this, a town in Wisconsin adopted an ordinance requiring anyone wishing to use a scare gun within the limits of the town to obtain a permit first. To receive the permit, the applicant had to agree to certain conditions, and those conditions are only use the guns between 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. and only between July 1st and October 1st. They could not operate within 300 feet of a residence unless written permission was obtained from the resident in that nearby residency, and use at a 45-degree angle from the property line. We have a farmer who traditionally used these scare guns to keep birds from destroying his corn crop. He received a permit but was cited for discharging at an angle under 45 degrees from the neighboring property line. He challenged this citation with a number of reasons, including that the ordinance was preempted by Wisconsin's right to farm law. We're going to talk about that court's decision here in just a second, but let's give a little bit more of a background on this. The farmer's family had used the scare guns on their property since 1962, and the neighbor complaining about the use had moved in 2011. The family had used these scare guns on property to reduce damage from birds and had yield histories to show that scare guns did reduce damage. From the city's perspective, residents had petitioned the town to limit the use of scare guns. We can think about these. If you don't know what they are, they're large, basically air cannons that just go off and create a loud sound to keep birds away. We can think about this from the city and the residents' perspective. If a lot of these are going off, it could create a lot of noise. By trying to figure out a way to allow people to continue to use them and allow for, you know, some peace and quiet during certain hours of the day, we have to figure out how to balance these interests and create this ordinance. So based on all this input from experts, the town had set the use of scare guns based on when birds were likely to do damage to the most damage to corn. The town had limit scare gun use to times of day when birds were likely to be eating, and set the required angle based on input from farmers in the area. So let's look at this right to farm issue that exists in this court decision. Without going into specifics on Wisconsin's right to farm law, the farmer's argument was that before the town could regulate the use, the town was required to prove that the use of scare guns is a nuisance. He also argued that the state's right to farm law preempted the scare gun ordinance. The Court of Appeals for Wisconsin disagrees with this on both counts. Looking at the first argument, the court held that the right to farm law only applies in nuisance suits and does not create a standard for towns to first find a practice to be a nuisance before regulating it. With the second argument, the court held that the right to farm law only applied in nuisance lawsuits and did not limit a local power to regulate agricultural practices. The ordinance actually is designed to help protect farmers from nuisance suits and is consistent with the right to farm law. If we think about this, the ordinance is typically just trying to prevent farmers from getting in trouble and limiting the use of guns to when they'll be the most appropriate and not, you know, trying to set the bar for what nuisance is. If we look at laws in that way, they set kind of the bar for what nuisance would be. And as long as we're within line with the law, we should be okay in a nuisance suit in most cases. So why should we care about all this? Practices such as using scare guns are valid in agriculture, but can cause issues with neighbors. We have other issues like this, but let's look only at scare guns. From the facts in the case, the town took the time to determine from experts when the use of scare guns should be utilized to protect producers' crops and minimize disturbances to neighbors. In the court's mind, this was exactly what right to farm laws are to encourage. Towns developing ordinances that allow agricultural practices while limiting disturbances to neighbors who may bring nuisance suits. Now, I need to say this is not what all right to farm laws do. Some actually limit local jurisdictions from creating, you know, potential ordinances that may do what this is doing here. But this is an area where, you know, in a lot of states, we do see right to farm laws typically wanting to encourage this. This law also highlights other things I've talked about in the past on this podcast, on my blog over the past year. Right to farm laws are limited in scope, and they only protect landowners against nuisance suits. Right to farm laws will not always protect actions against what limits agricultural practices. They're not going to limit, you know, producers against, you know, the ability to challenge environmental laws or other laws they may not like about. In the show notes, I'll include a link to the post this is based off of so you can see it. And at the same time, I'll also include links to the right to farm law fact sheet for the state of Maryland. This is, you know, scare guns is a topic that often comes up. I often get questions about and something we often have to think about as to how these would operate. So thank you again for listening today. If you have any questions, please email me at lgoering@umd.edu. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts on future episodes, please email me, tweet me at @aglawpaul. You can send me a message on Instagram at the same handle. Find me on social media. Let me know what you want to hear about. And thank you again for listening and enjoy the rest of your day.